Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 15th, the year of our Lord, 2022. And this is the fifth Sunday of Easter. It is a joy to welcome you here, and I pray that this will be a time of prayer and reflection, a time to find peace in the midst of a very busy and distracting world. So let's begin together where we always begin here on the podcast, by focusing on the breath of life, the gift that is our opportunity to be together here. Slow down. Breathe deeply. Turn your face toward the sky. And think about the people that you love most. Think about those things in your life that are good. The people and the places and the things that bring a smile to your face. Give thanks to God for these things. And let's begin in worship. Let's join together in reading the call to worship. You can find the call to worship in the bulletin, which will be just over to the right of where you found today's podcast. Tap on, click on the notes tab, and there will come the bulletin. Let's join together. Come, all who are weary of wealth, of poverty, of power, of struggle, of division. Come, all who are heavy laden, with too much, too little, with anxiety, with fear, with anger. Come, all who have hope for liberation, for peace, for freedom, for the kingdom. Hear these words. See, I am making all things new. May it be so. Friends, our scripture reading today comes from John's Gospel in the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the opportunity to gather around your word, to hear the voice of Jesus say to us that we ought to love one another as he has loved us. In this time of reflection, O God, open our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive this word of knowledge from you, the gift of your Holy Spirit alive with us, in us, leading us, encouraging us. And I pray, dear God, as one who preaches, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and say, Amen. Friends, we gather here on the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we share a story that takes place before the events of betrayal and death and resurrection. It's a story that we shared on Maundy Thursday. It's the story of John's telling of the Last Supper. If we were to just drop into this text, especially if we're not very familiar with the Gospel of John and how the story goes, if we were to begin and not understand where it is, what neighborhood the text is in, it might be rather confusing because it just says, when he had gone out. Well, who is he? And where did he go? And why does Jesus go from that to talking about the Son of Man being glorified? We need more information. And that's why it's often so important for us when we get these little pieces of Scripture, if it's the lectionary or maybe it's a daily devotional, it's really important for us to find out what's happening before and after so that we don't corrupt the meaning of a particular passage. So maybe we begin at the beginning of 13, since this lectionary has us beginning at the end of chapter 13. Let's just bounce back to the beginning. Yes, indeed. This is Jesus before the festival of the Passover. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples. John sets full context for this story right at the beginning of the chapter. Passover, the high holy day, days of celebration, the festival of unleavened bread, God's liberating presence in the world. God does a new thing, sets these people free from captivity. And he's about to do it again through this one. Through this Jesus. And how does this work begin? How does, when this narrative shifts now to the point where Jesus is going to be saying goodbye in a bunch of different ways, preparing them for his departure from here in chapter 13 up to chapter 17, this farewell discourse, this teaching about his departure, how it will be, how he will provide through the Holy Spirit. It begins, all of it begins, with Jesus washing their feet. So we begin with the humility of the loving teacher, knowing full well what's going on in the room and in the hearts and the minds of the disciples, because the one that Jesus says, this Judas Iscariot, he will betray him. And Jesus makes it plain to those gathered around the table. Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they all look at him and they're like, "You're no way. It's not, tell us. Who's it going to be? I can't believe any of us at this point. Given everything we've been through, one of us is going to betray you. Tell us who it is." And he says, "It's the one whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Judas takes it. He receives it. And in that, something overtakes him. Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, knowing, a knowingness between Jesus and Judas, "Go do quickly the thing that you've got to do." Now, to everyone else around the table, they still are not picking it up. What is this betrayal? What's he talking about? And not fully connecting it, Jesus and Judas have this moment. "You go do your thing." And he sends him on his way. And he leaves. The others are not sure what the mission is. Is he going to go get more supplies? Is he going to do something charitable on their behalf? He leaves, and I don't know that they think much more about it. Judas leaves. And that's where we pick up today. So when in 1331 it says, when he had gone out, the "he" is Judas Iscariot, gone out to betray Jesus. Feet washing. Betrayal. And imagine, if you will, someone starts a timer. There is an urgency and a deep connectedness that comes into the room. Can almost feel like, okay, now that he's gone, I need you to lean in and listen. He says to them, okay, they can hear the click of the door. Jesus gets serious. And he said to them, "Everybody look at me. Now the Son of Man has been glorified. And God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once." That is to say, in a matter of hours, the fullness of God's love will be revealed. In a matter of hours and days and perhaps weeks, you will come to know exactly who I am. In the matter of days and hours and days and weeks, as this story plays out, pay attention to what's going to happen, all of you. Because it's all of God's plan. It is all revelatory of God. It is to glorify God, lifted up for everyone to see. The Son of Man lifted up for all to see on a cross. The compassion of God, the forgiveness of God juxtaposed to the sin and brutality of humankind. Now remember, we're in the season of Easter. And I always like to think of these days. We come alongside the disciples and we begin to tell the stories of their last 3 years of public ministry with Jesus. Do you remember the time when he did this? And do you remember the time he said that? There's the reading that we have of this story on Maundy Thursday, which is to participate in it as it's happening and to be equally perplexed and worried as Jesus speaks these words, to be confused as to why he's washing our feet, to be confused as to why Judas just left, to be filled with the mystery of the moment. But now we're with them. I like to imagine we're in with them and the door is locked and there's still fear in the room and they're still telling the stories. What just happened? And so this week's opportunity is someone, maybe it's Peter, says, "Do you remember the time? It was just not too long ago. It was about 5 weeks ago. Remember? Remember when he said that Judas would betray him? We were totally confused by that. And then do you remember when he washed our feet? And he told us that that is an example of how it is that we ought to love one another. Do you remember that? So we come to this story on the fifth Sunday of Easter from an Easter perspective, connecting the back dots backwards and going, oh, now I see it. God revealed in each and every one of these actions. If God has been glorified him, God will also be glorify him in himself. God is fully revealed in him. Everything he did and said was of God. Even the way he did things that seemed like they made no sense. Well, and then in 13:33 he says, "Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." I get it. And then there's another bit of context for us. As we looked at the beginning of the chapter, there's a few more verses that we don't get. "Where I'm going, you can't go." That lingers in Peter's head. And then down in verse 36, Peter says to him, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." At the beginning of this story, we have humility and feet washing. At the beginning of chapter 13, we have betrayal. We have the heart of darkness. Whatever this confluence of dark spirit, arrogance, whatever it is fully that compels Judas to betray Jesus to the authorities. Feet washing, betrayal, and then this moment. This moment where he teaches them, "You love the way I love. Here's the way forward. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love one another just as I have loved you." Maundy Thursday perspective. Real time, going through it, hearing it for the first time. The depth of what he was saying couldn't have been fully appreciated. But then, gathered behind a locked door, discussing the last 3 years in the fifth Sunday of Easter, looking at the story from the perspective that we have, to pause and to tell the stories with the context of life, death, resurrection. Oh, even within this part of the story, to love as he loved. Because this story, this command to love, happens between betrayal and denial. Sandwiched in between these two things is a command to love the way he loves. Wash the feet of the one that is about to betray you. Wash the feet of the one who will deny you. And amongst this company, celebrate the Passover, break the bread, and drink the wine. Love as I have loved. Love to the end. Knowing full well that when we embody this kind of love, when we fill ourselves up with this kind of love, that gives. It is a perpetually giving love, and what it receives is not from the object of the action, but what it receives in return is from the divine. It's the assurance, it's the peace that passes understanding that in the action of breaking bread, in the action of washing feet, holiness breaks in. The gift and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God is in that moment. Whether it is you are offering compassion and teaching and training to the one who will betray you or the one who will deny you, you tend to the human frailty and encourage the holy in the actions of loving the way he loves. It seems a tall order, and certainly was confusing for them as they experienced it, in their lived experience of it, trying to figure out what had happened to them over these 3 years of life with Jesus. And knowing as he returns, as he comes to them in resurrected form to say, everything that we just did over the past 3 years, the things you heard me teach, the miracles you saw performed, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. And it will be scary, and it will demand perhaps everything of you. But don't measure it by the way things are measured around here. Don't measure your effectiveness by your balance sheet. Don't measure your effectiveness by how good a seat you get at a show or at the banquet. Don't measure it by how many well-placed friends you have. Measure it by how many feet you've washed. Measure it by your capacity to forgive the ones who betray you, misunderstand you, misrepresent you, by the ones who want so desperately to support you, but when things get hard or scary, they turn and run. Your capacity to love and forgive all of them is of God. And God is glorified constantly, right, in these first few verses. If God has been glorified in him, even back to the 31, right? Now the Son of Man has been glorified. Maybe say revealed, if it's helpful. Glorify can maybe get us off track. Certainly glorified, lifted up, exalted, bright light radiating forth. It helps me to read it as revealed. Now the Son of Man has been revealed, and God has been revealed in him. If God has been revealed in him, God will also reveal him in himself and reveal him at once. You see Jesus. You see him forgive. You see him break bread and pour wine and wash feet. What's God like? Just like that. How can we be more godly? We try to be more like that. Knowing that it's not part of our human nature, but it is a part of the divine nature that is a gift from this Holy Spirit that Jesus promises us over the course of this farewell discourse. I'll give you the help you need. It might not make sense to your logical mind that you break bread and you wash feet and you forgive, but it makes sense in the kingdom of heaven. And so I just pray for us that we would just, rather than try to control this story, get our hands on it. Okay, love as he loved. That means I have to do this or that particular thing. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus promises. If you just ask for it. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Help me to love the way he loved. And in the spirit of these actions, Help me to have that same spirit, that same love. You may never, ever wash somebody else's feet. But in the washing of the feet, it's more about the one who, by worldly standards, ought to be having his feet washed and demonstrating to the ones that follow him, this is what love looks like. This is what true leadership looks like. This is what true lordship looks like. It's about startling compassion, grace, and giving. And little by little, prayer by prayer, practice by practice, it's available to all of us. It is something we can all do. It's remarkably good news, to which we all ought to say, Amen. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. And we give you thanks for your love, the love that you demonstrate for us in ways that are amazing. They reveal you. Only the love of God washes the feet of his denier and his betrayer. Only the love of God in the midst of suffering prays forgiveness over the ones who have caused his suffering. We pray for the strength, O God. We call out to you and we pray for the strength and the faith and the courage to love as you have loved, knowing that that faith, that strength, and that courage has to come from you. And so we call out and we pray for the gift of your Holy Spirit alive and inside of us. Be our inspiration, Holy Spirit of the living God. We survey the world around us, O God, and there are more than a few things for us to be anxious about, to lament, to be angry about. Help us to love the way that you love. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to forgive those who betray and deny. Bring peace where there is violence. Bring hope where it seems all hope has been lost. Thy kingdom come, we'll pray. May we come to understand and participate in the full in your divine economy. And you know each and every one of us, God. You know the things that worry us. You know the things that make us angry. You know the celebrations of our hearts. Sometimes we write all these down. We keep them as a prayer list. Or sometimes they run through our minds in a loop. However that is, O God, we take time. We take a moment here to offer it all to you, the joys and the concerns. We present it to you, O God, in faith, that you will hear our prayers, that you will read our prayers, that you will understand our hearts. So we make quiet space to trust that you are with us and to listen for your voice. We break our silence, and we're grateful for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we pray that you will hear us as we join together in a prayer that you taught your first disciples. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My dear friends, I pray that we will depart from this time renewed, understanding that God is with us, that God is fully revealed, glorified in the person of Jesus, who showed us how we can be godlike. In the washing of the feet, in the breaking of the bread, in the call to love in the midst of betrayal and denial, God gives us strength because God loves us and calls us to do the same. Our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, sends you into the world in love, bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.